guys. Welcome to
the brand new podcast, Young and in Love. Young and in Love.
Young and in Love.
This is the podcast, Young and in Love. Hello, young lovers, and welcome to another episode of Young and in Love.
Young and in Love.
Again, I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor.
We're the Andersons. And this is Young and in Love. Young and in Love. Young and in Love.
Young and in Love.
This is Young and in Love.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Young and in Love. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about simple ways that we can show love to each other. And we will also be sharing some of our favorite stories about love.
We are going to kick things off this week with a story about a senior couple that we both find incredibly endearing. They're examples for us as a young couple of something to look up to, and a prominent figure in our church. His name is Richard G. Scott, and he's been a leader for quite some time, but his wife passed away a number of years ago, and he came out with this story describing their relationship and how he understands true love. Taylor, take it away.
All right, so here is the quote from Richard G. Scott himself. "I learned from my wife the importance of expressions of love. Early in our marriage, often I would open my scriptures to give a message in a meeting, and I would find an affectionate, supportive note Janine had slipped into the pages. Sometimes they were so tender that I could hardly talk. Those precious notes from a loving wife were and continue to be a priceless treasure of comfort and inspiration. I began to do the same thing with her, not realizing how much it truly meant to her. I remember one year we didn't have the resources for me to give her a Valentine, so I decided to paint a watercolor on the front of the refrigerator. I did the best I could, only I made one mistake. It was enamel paint, not watercolor. She never let me try to remove that permanent paint from the refrigerator. I remember one day I took some of those little round paper circles that form when you punch holes in paper, and I wrote on them the numbers 1 to 100. I turned each over and wrote her a message, one word on each circle. Then I scooped them up and put them in an envelope. I thought she would kind of get a good laugh. When she passed away, I found in her private things how much she appreciated the simple messages that we shared with each other. I noted that she had carefully posted every one of those circles on a piece of paper. She not only kept my notes to her, but she protected them with plastic coverings as if they were a valuable treasure. There is only one that she didn't put with the others. It is still behind the glass in our kitchen clock. It reads, 'Janine, it is time to tell you I love you.' It remains there and reminds me of that exceptional daughter of Father in Heaven."
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was really sweet. I mean, I think it's true. I think, like, as, like, girls, like, in general, we tend to be a lot more, like, thoughtful. So, like, I know I've wrote you notes before. But then, like, whenever you write me a note, which is good, it's a little more rare. But, like, I have all of them. Like, all that you have ever written me. And I think it's a huge impact, a lot more than you realize.
I'll keep that in mind. Because right now I'm sitting at like a quarterly basis. Write one every 3 months. Okay, I've got a story that I found on the interwebs about an older couple who show a demonstration of love. And this blogger who shared it, her name is, past it, Harlina Singh. She's a positive thinker and a freelance writer. She loves to write inspiring and thought-provoking posts on self-improvement, family, relationships, health, and other aspects of life. She's also a blogger who loves to share her blogging knowledge and experiences. So she shared a story that she heard from a friend of hers who served as a doctor. I saw the word doctor. Okay, so she says, a true love story. Paul and Wendy were married for 60 years. Though Paul was 84 and Wendy was 80 years old, Their love seemed so fresh and young, a bond of true love. My friend, who's a doctor, first met the senior couple when Paul brought Wendy in a wheelchair to the hospital for a normal checkup. Who says that only young lovers can spread the fragrance of love? My friend found this old couple a sight to see. They looked ever so in love, always smiling at each other, and had an aura of understanding around them. Paul took pride in pushing his wife's wheelchair and taking care of her, while Wendy showed signs of contentment on her face as she had complete trust and faith in her husband. Wendy was suffering from osteoarthritis, and her old age made the matters worse. She needed regular treatment. After a few weeks of treatment, she started improving. However, she still needed to visit the hospital frequently for routine checkups. Even though Paul himself wasn't that fit enough, and age had weakened his body, but he was still strong mentally and wouldn't make any compromises for the love of his life. He had to travel great distances and spend a lot of money, yet he refused to take her to just any hospital as he only wanted the best treatment for his love. As time passed by, the serious effects of the disease and failing treatment started showing on Wendy's health. Yet my friend could see the love and respect they had for each other. Paul would just remain quiet and Wendy would read her husband's love through his silent eyes. They didn't need any words to express their love, as true love needs no language. One day, as my friend hadn't seen the couple for a few days, she called up Paul as part of the routine follow-up on her patients. That's when she learned that Wendy had passed away a week back due to complications of hypertension. As Paul conveyed all this in a shaky voice to my friend, he broke down. It was the first time in 5 months since my friend had known him that he had cried or showed any helplessness. He cried on the phone endlessly and uncontrollably. It was the first time his voice showed defeat and pain, which all this time he had concealed in order to give courage to his wife. He told my friend how empty his house and heart had become, and now he couldn't sleep nor eat well. His wife was no longer by his side, but he mentioned how much he still loved her and wished her soul rests in peace. As my friend was narrating this story, I was finding it tough to control my tears, having undergone the loss of my mom and having seen my dad go through the same phase. It brought a lump to my throat. It made me think as to how people cope with such a great loss, and how do they gather the strength and courage to carry on with life, just like my dad. Paul and Wendy's was a true love story, and their love was unconditional and so true.
Whew. Tearjerker.
It's a tearjerker. I once heard saw a video, and I can't remember, I think it was a news segment, about a guy who would wake up every morning and his wife was in the hospital, an older couple again. And I think that's going to be an important note when we actually start talking about this, is the fact that all these stories are from older couples. He would wake up every morning and walk 6 miles to the hospital to visit his wife, who was staying there overnight. And then in the evening, he didn't have a car and he didn't have a way to get there. So in the evening, he'd walk the 6 miles back home and go back to bed. And he would do that every day. And people would stop by and offer him rides sometimes, but he liked the walk because it kept him, he said it kept him alive and agile and in good working condition so that he could always make that ride, or so that he could always make that walk, because the ride wouldn't always be there. And I thought that was incredible. Any thoughts?
That's really cute. It's really sweet. A lot of, like, determination.
Yeah, it reminds me of a quote from another apostle who gave a talk titled "Of Things That Matter Most" in October of 2010. And he said, "Our second key relationship is with our families. Since no other success can compensate for failure here, we must place high priority on our families. We build deep and loving family relationships by doing simple things together, like family dinner and family home evening, and by just having fun together. In family relationships, love is really spelled T-I-M-E, time. Taking time for each other is the key for harmony at home. We talk with, rather than about, each other. We learn from each other, and we appreciate our differences as well as our commonalities. We establish a divine bond with each other as we approach God together through family prayer, gospel study, and Sunday worship." I think Zig Ziglar also had a quote that said, to children, love is spelled T-I-M-E. So I don't know which one came first. In this case, Dieter F. Uchtdorf or Zig Ziglar, but the lesson is the same, right?
Right.
When it comes to establishing this long, loving relationship, it comes down to time and taking, I think that's why you find such importance in like little notes,
mm-hmm.
because you know that I took time out of my day and out of my sort of runnings abouts and out of my responsibilities to write you a note. And it shows that just how much I care.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep nodding my head and I realize that you guys can't see that. So. So Josh and I both made a list of things, qualities, actions that we do for one another that make us feel loved. So we're going to share them now.
Yeah. You're going to start.
Oh.
Because it's your turn.
Okay.
Tell them what you said earlier.
Yeah, I said that making this list was surprisingly hard, which is sort of sad. But I don't know if that's just because, like, I'm more complacent now, which I know is not a good thing, or what. But like, I don't want to say like I don't.
No, say it. Say it.
What?
Say it. What's in your head? And what I said before. It's fine. We're open. We're honest. It doesn't bother me. Go ahead.
I think he did a lot better at making me feel loved when we were engaged in dating.
There it is. You should share both lists.
Then he does now. I will. I'll share both of them.
Yeah.
There we go. Which one should I start with?
I don't care.
I'll start with now. But I don't, like, disclaimer, I don't feel unloved. Some days I feel loved more than others, but there's a lot of room for improvement here. But I'm just like the type of person where I don't like to complain. I don't like to, like, why fix it if it ain't broke type thing. Like, I don't have a bad life. Like, our relationship isn't bad by any means. I just sort of carry on. Anyways.
And it gets you into some trouble sometimes.
It does. And I have
emotionally.
A lot of breakdowns. Okay, so. Where is it? Okay, so this is my list for now. So I feel loved when you make dinner. When you wear my favorite cologne. When you do the dishes. When you let me sleep in. When you let me lay on you or sleep on you, which is a lot, always. When you rub my hands and feet without me asking. When
that's
you,
a key phrase.
Yeah, without me asking. Tells me I'm beautiful and sexy sometimes. I wrote sometimes.
Sometimes it doesn't make you feel that.
No, I like sometimes you tell me I'm beautiful and sexy. Give me pep talks when I'm down. Always patient with me. The way he looks at me in the morning, like just woken up. When he grabs me closer in the middle of the night. When he sometimes kisses me unexpectedly. And how he keeps me accountable for my goals. So that was now.
How long did that list take you to make?
It took a long time. I think I started yesterday. And I finished
when I told
it.
You.
I finished it today. And it's not a long list.
No.
You
guys can all read into that exactly how you'd think it. Just, it's fine.
Okay, this list is, like, actually really long, and I don't know. I'm just gonna read everything, because I don't know when, like, I made this list. But this was, like, everything, every, like, cute thing, like, he's ever done. Okay, so. Alright. Showing up at my apartment past midnight to surprise me for a spontaneous hangout wakes me up in the middle of the night for no reason other than to tell me that he loves me. Calls me randomly and unexpected just because he misses me and wants to tell me that he loves me. Bringing me hot chocolate and other treats after a big fight. Bringing me my favorite protein bars because he knows how much I like them. Making his bed for me because he knew I was coming over. Are the Valentine's Day gift canvas that he made for me. Random texts throughout the day where he takes the initiative first to tell me that he loves me or has been thinking about me. Telling people around him how awesome and cute I am. When he brags about me to other people when I'm standing right by him. When he makes me yummy breakfast and dinners that he knows I love and that are also healthy and toast. When he grabs my hand first. When he massages my hands without me asking him to. When he rubs my back and plays with my hair without me asking him to. When he kisses my cheek surprisingly. When he catches me off guard with a kiss. Whenever he opens up to me about his emotions. Whenever he dances with me and twirls me with no music or dances. Or dances with me with no music. Both great, both fun. He may make me cry, but as soon as he does, he's right there to do everything he can to make me smile and happy again. End of list.
I think those lists were relatively the same length.
Yeah?
I mean, they almost took you the same amount of time to read them.
Oh. Okay.
The second one's a little bit longer.
That's all.
Okay. As a justification, I think, or maybe like a little bit to save the shame that may come later from our listeners, or save face, as they say. I still do a lot of those things on that list.
Yeah.
I think you should have read the list before you made your new one. You're like, I wonder what he still does.
I did.
And you don't think I still grab you and dance with you in the kitchen?
You do, but it's just not, I don't know, it's like a once in a blue moon type thing. Like, it's not like that common. Huh. But then again, like, if it was like an everyday thing, I don't know if I'd appreciate it as much. But that doesn't mean like you can't do it like a few times a month, you know? Or like,
how many times did I dance with you before?
I don't know. I remember it being a lot.
I kissed you on the cheek today.
You did. He did do that before we talked about this.
I told you I loved you in the middle of the night last night.
You did.
After I told you I was a park ranger. anyways, but I do understand that I have become less spontaneous, and I could think of a million different excuses, but then again, I'm creative, so I could think of a million different ways to get past those million different excuses. So I'm gonna put that one on me. My list is more of a sonnet.
Oh, something see, creative right here.
I mean, sonnet, they don't have to rhyme, right? It's just like a love poem. Yeah. Don't you just call a love poem a sonnet? Because it doesn't rhyme, and there's no rhythm to it. So it's basically just a love note.
It's just, yeah.
But I'm going to do something clever here in the podcast to make it sound super cool, because I'm the one who edits it, so I can just say, cue the background music, and then I'm going to put background music behind my section. So that mine sounds more loving. Do you want me to put background music on yours, too?
No, you don't have to.
Okay, good.
Mine's really drop the hammer.
Yeah. Hey, be more loving. You don't love me as much as you used to. Okay, so cue the music in 3, 2, 1. Taylor shows me love. It's in the little things you do. The way you lay your hand on my chest. The way you roll over at night. The way you hold me tight after work. The way you don't let a new moment start or a past moment end without a kiss. The way your cheeks get rosy when I compliment you or tell you I love you. The way you look out for my well-being, though I am strong for you, and have a brave face, you know when I need comfort, and are never late to bring such comfort. I can hear it in your voice, the tone of loving concern when I am lost in thought, the sound of thoughtful concern as I have as I move through winter days of trial, and the cherished smile that warms a broken soul. A smile that melts me no matter my mood, the smile that is my kryptonite, you are my love slain. A smile that calms my deepest rage, you are my Betty Ross. But most of all, I see it in your eyes, your soft, tender gaze that softens my coarse shell, that cuts me to the core and lightens my darkest moods. It's that gaze, that beautiful twinkle in your eyes, that lets me know the most just how much you love me.
That was so cute.
That brings us to a close this week. We hope you enjoyed these stories about love and dedication, the time that's spent into cultivating a successful and long-lasting, healthy relationship. We appreciate your support, and we encourage all of you to go out and to maybe find the little things that you can do to let those that you love the most in this world understand and know that they love you, or that you love them. Whether it be your best friend or your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your lover, no matter who it is, make sure that they know that you love them and that you care for them.
And one tip to help a relationship, strengthen a relationship, never underestimate the power that comes with asking how your partner's day was. It's not a very common thing that happens in our relationship with Josh, like, asks me, but it's something that I appreciate a lot, and it's not something that I think you realize how much you appreciate it until it's no longer there. And that can make the world's difference, just knowing that your partner cares. So always ask how their day is.
And remember that love in family relationships is spelled T-I-M-E. So give those that you love and those that you consider family, whether by blood or simply by experience, that you love them and that you care for them. And we will see you, hear from you, talk to you in the next one.
Bye.